Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Welcome back to the Dog Pod, your home for fans of the University of Washington Huskies tackle football team. Guys, we are back, and today we're going to talk about the defense, about special teams, spend a little bit of time talking about name, image, and likeness, and some changes within Husky Stadium. Back here with Law Dog and Mitch. Two shows in a row, Mitch.
Whoa.
Well, let's do this. All right.
Attendance record.
Attendance
2-0.
Get that boy a gold star. We talked about the Husky offense. We're 2 weeks out from the Grizzlies of Montana. Let's talk about death row and special teams. Before we get into position groups, fellas, Kwiatkowski's gone. That was a big loss. We can't sugarcoat that. Sark steals him away to Texas. All up, what should we expect? What do we think about this new coach is coming in?
Well, first off, does Sark put more fifths in other coaches' lockers to steal him away?
So wow. That's wow. The move?
Low
that,
blow.
Low blow for him. Oh, that is great.
Bob Gregory, it was a little bit of an underwhelming hire. I think we can all agree. I mean, the program's rolling right now. There's more money coming in. And granted, it's, you know, the competition has gotten a lot stiffer out there, too. But, I mean, I think we were all hoping, hey, this could be a big-time hire. You promote a guy named Bob Gregory who's, you know, been, you know, pretty much a very nondescript guy on your staff for a few years. But he did have some really good years at Cal where he was the defensive coordinator. I remember there was a time when Washington was hiring a defensive coordinator, he was getting talked about in those, you know, a decade ago type of thing. We'll see. To me, Pete Kwiatkowski might be the best defensive coordinator the school's had since Jim Lambright. So to me, you know, it's not easy to see him walk out the door, but I think they also have enough talent in the room that I hope that they can put it together and Gregory can keep the train rolling, to use that analogy, yeah. Right? Just don't let that train stop. You have to get it going again. Just keep it rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's a big culture thing, I think, for them, too. Like, it's a known quantity. They know what they're looking for. And you almost wonder if it's like almost like a Pete Carroll Seahawk thing where, you know, Lake's got such a feel for that defense. You know, he's maybe a little more comfortable too with that. Yeah, he's kind of the guy there, right? Versus bringing in some big name personality, which maybe he clashes with a little bit. So I'm not overly surprised there. But again, this kind of goes back. Like, this is a big year for Jimmy. And this hire is going to be really scrutinized after the fact if the defense doesn't play well.
Yeah, I mean, this is his staff now. You know, you got John Don, you got Gregory. You got Cato at the tight ends. You got Rip Rowan on D-line. Like, he's hired this staff. There's a few holdovers, but these are his guys, and he's going to sink or swim with them. And you're right. This is a huge year for Jimmy Lake. I mean, you know, he got a taste of college football last season in empty stadiums for four games. Now he's got expectations. He's got a big stage coming up in week two. And he's got an opportunity. And if he doesn't take advantage of that opportunity, we're going to be at the end of the season doing the show saying, where was Jimmy Lake this season?
Yeah.
Big shoes to fill and no one to point fingers at. And let's hope he made the right choices on all these. Let's get into it. Let's start in the back and work our way forward. We got to start with DBU, man, an NFL factory. Mitch, talk to us about that secondary.
Yeah, I don't think it's stopping, BT. I mean, it's just going to continue to go. And first off, let me tell you this. So I heard a report that Will Harris apparently was approached in the offseason by LSU.
Whoa.
So supposedly there's a little bit of like kind of real attention going on with some of our coaches. And, you know, the guys from Dogman do a great job reporting. They're saying he's a hot commodity right now. And supposedly he's not at LSU, but he was also offered some positions above his current pay grade.
Wow.
And there's not too many positions above the secondary coach, like defensive coordinator. Right? Like, I mean,
he's a young guy, man.
He's a young guy. It's aggressive, but like, it's being recognized. So let's talk about this. You got guys like Elijah Molden and Keith Taylor heading off to the league, right? There's some kids that can play right behind him. Trent McDuffie, let's start with that. The preseason All-American coming in, right? Oh my gosh, talk about a lockdown corner. You guys, he's only 5'11. That kind of surprised me. I actually thought he was a little bit bigger, but he's not. But he is crafty. He's kind of like Elijah Molden, even though he's out there. He's a gamer.
Total gamer.
He's going to lock that side down, and he just plays bigger. Just like Molden did, like that Utah game last year where they needed to have a stop, and I think Molden created that turnover where he caused a fumble. That's Trent McDuffie. And the thing that I'm excited and hearing about from fall camp, he's embracing the leadership role. He's the alpha out there. And he's like, let's go. This is on us. We're going to lead this team, which just gets me like super stoked about it.
Enjoy him while he lasts.
Exactly. Because it's going to be just this year, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So on the other side, you got Kyler Gordon locking down the other corner spot, all right? So we've always been kind of waiting for it. Like last year, I just felt like he was a little bit slow. He wasn't quite kind of at the pace of the game. And what I was excited to hear about reading in spring ball and also in fall camp is the game sounds like it's slowing down for him a little bit. Yeah, he knows where he needs to be. He's got his kind of technique and footwork down, and now he can let his athleticism kind of take over. And so that's pretty exciting to see what he does, because he is a freak athlete, which we'll talk about in special teams as well, right? So that's pretty exciting. But the cool part is there are dudes behind him, right? So Michelle Powell, a guy who's a walk-on, is playing really well. He's running with the twos right now. Jacoby Covington, right, guys? True freshman coming in, 6'2", 195, out of Chandler, Arizona. Those guys...
Sound familiar?
Yeah, sound familiar, right? He's playing really well. And what I also like about it, apparently he's in some skirmishes with some of the receivers, getting his nose in there. I guess he's got a little bit of an edge to him, which is fantastic.
Swagger.
Right? Elijah Jackson's another true freshman, I guess, that's playing pretty well. Breaking news today, they did lose one of their freshmen, James Smith, who was recruited. He left the team.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was announced today. But they got guys. They got dudes. Now, let's move on. I think we all understand where kind of the soft spot of this defense is with the safeties, at least from last year, right, with the play. You know, you hope that some guys
since
can.
Since Taylor Rapp, really.
Yeah. Right? Like, you know, it's just like they got talent back there, but they're not quite turning the corner. You saw that in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State. Some blown plays, blown coverage. It was very unfortunate. Cameron Davis sounds like he's turning the corner there. 6 foot, 200 pound sophomore. Seems like he's been around the program longer than
he's
that.
Been around.
Well, he played running back for a while, I think.
Yeah. That's right. So, anyways, in a previous show, you might have heard of that.
Yeah.
Dom Hampton at, I guess, Pac-12 Media Day. Trent McDuffie was quoted as saying, you know Cam Chancellor? Take a look at Dom Hampton.
He's a freak. Have you seen that guy?
Him and Gordon are both the guys that everyone has been raving about, like, you know, drooling at the bodies and all and the physical tools and stuff on those guys. But, I mean, I think we kind of – I need to see it on the field.
Just play a little faster. That's what I'm looking to see them do.
And that's a coaching thing. So Will Harris – get him there.
Turn him loose. And then you guys got Julius Irvin right behind him, sophomore. He's played a little bit. Supposedly he's been banged up a little bit. You know, the thing that I have not heard a lot about is Asa Turner. Mm-hmm. It's been a little quiet on him. Like, we haven't really heard that much. I don't know what's going on there. And then Alex Cook, the walk-on, right? I think it was a receiver that they moved him over. He's been playing really well. So they have depth there. They just have to turn it into something. Then finally, I intentionally started the way that I did. What I'm really excited about is that slot nickel corner a little bit. We got the Brendan Radley Hiles, a.k.a. Bookie, transferred from Oklahoma. Dude, apparently the guy is around the ball. And he, I don't know if you guys have seen his photos. He's a grown-ass man.
Yeah, dude, he's ready to play.
Well, that I think this is the biggest question going in for the defense, in my mind, is going into this season, is we all have watched those Stanford games. Right. We've seen enough of them to know we know how they go at this point. And they have stubbornly stuck to that nickel. And we're hearing some reports that maybe that might be changing this year, Mitch. I don't know if you've been reading that as well, but maybe they're kind of experimenting with more of a regular base defense. That could be an interesting development if that happens. But if we've got the talent in nickel, then it's been hard to keep five DBs off the field.
It's hard to keep you got to get them on the field. That will be fascinating. And maybe they do some like Jamal Adams kind of thing where he is up on the line, but he is aggressive, guys. He ball hawks and he pops dudes. And I'm serious. He looks like a 35-year-old out there.
All right, let's talk about that next level, the linebackers. Last year, definitely some areas of concern in the middle. And linebacker coverage on the edges is so critical in this defense. Lada, talk to me about the linebackers.
Yeah, I think this is kind of the tale of on your inside linebackers, this is the, kind of the tale of two different stories, right? You got Edifonu Lufoccio, all-conference potential, one of Pro Football Focus, like highest-rated linebackers returning in the country. Had a monster year last year, had what, like 14 tackles against Stanford or something like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, he, you know, played out of his mind last year. Then you look over next to him, and Jackson Sermon was kind of the whipping boy of all the, a lot of fans last year, and kind of had some interesting routes he was taking, and just, you know, when you lose a guy like Ben Burkervin, it just kind of stands out like a sore thumb when mm-hmm. his replacement is, you know, as Jackson Sermon played last year. Fortunately, it sounds like he's turning things a little bit around a little bit this fall camp. So I do think we can expect some improvement there at the inside spots. And frankly, this is kind of the one, you know, we're going to talk about this whole defense, but Mitch, you know, just give us a nice wrap on the DBs. That's not a huge area of concern. If we had an area of concern, I think last year it was this inside linebacker spot, and Ulufoccio stepped up, but there's still kind of some to-be-determined going on. And so I think I'm really anxious to see that. And then when we turn to the outside linebackers, you know, Ryan Bowman, that's a guy who's, you know, I mean, think about how kind of his career has transpired, right? I mean, he started out as a nobody, essentially, and got and played his way onto some really good Husky teams, played in the Rose Bowl. He's been a starter on this team.
I agree. Yeah, yeah, he's great. He kind of reminds me of, like, the Seth Rogen of our defense.
Yeah, wow.
Always there.
Yeah. Always there.
But, I mean, that guy is coming back for a sixth year, and he's gonna get a look and probably get a chance to play in the NFL. Like, if that isn't the poster boy of the Chris Peterson / Jimmy Lake development program, then I don't know what is. So that's a guy who you can absolutely count on the outside. He's definitely not flashy, but he gets his assignments. He does what he needs to do, and he's very reliable. I think on the other side, we were all really hoping and looking forward to our boy ZTF. And I mean, what, just in a few games last year, he gave us all kind of the, you know, the magic feeling like, oh man, we got an elite rusher on our team again. And then, you know, he had that just serious injury in the spring, the Achilles. By all accounts, it sounds like he's ahead of schedule. Jimmy Lake didn't have to give any kind of a timetable on it, but he said no, he's ahead of his schedule. Yep. And we were already looking at what, an 8-9 month recovery from about March, April. Yep. So, you know, we could be seeing him at the end of this season. And when we get into the meat of that schedule, you know, I think we'll have a decision to make potentially, or Washington is going to have a decision to make.
Yep.
Because if you're 8-1 going down the stretch, it's like, okay, we can get him back, let's do it. But, you know, if the team's more like, you know, 6-3, maybe you don't push it as much. But, you know, just to go over that last month, a big one that stands out, November 6th, game 9, Oregon, then Arizona State, Colorado, and Washington State. If he could somehow get back for that Oregon game on November 6th, that would be a huge boost. But in his absence, you know, the Huskies are going to have to figure out something on the outside. And I think it sounds like Cooper McDonald is really the guy who's been stepping up. But we've also heard quite a bit about Jeremiah Martin. And then, of course, we've got, you know, the big blue chip recruit of the last couple of years, Savelle Smalls, who, you know, by all accounts is playing very well himself. So I think we will actually see a mix of those guys. We've never really seen the defensive line stay completely static throughout a game. I'm actually excited to see Jeremiah Martin. From the stuff I've seen of him, he just sounds really athletic. I think that'll be very interesting. So I'm actually very optimistic about that outside linebacker group, even without ZTF. But I think, man, if you can get him back, this could be an elite group. And
really
that's
good.
What we were all really looking forward to last season. And it's disappointing that we won't see him for this entire season.
Particularly, well, and all indications are saying, you know, maybe they're just saying the right things, is that it's, you know, an unprecedented level of return and healing, and that they expect him to play this year. If the other guys can get their reps in his absence, and we don't see too much of a drop off, we're all the better.
Yep.
But we need it. We have to have that. It's going to be huge.
Well, that's an issue. It's been an issue on this team really since Chris Peterson got here, and you had like the kind of the JoJo Mathis and Haole Jamora and some of those guys kind of moved on. We have just not been able to fill that outside rush position very well, and it's been an Achilles heel, this defense. And I think ZTF kind of solved that problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not to say Ryan Bowman isn't a good player. He's just not that, like, Lawrence Taylor type of pass rusher.
Yeah, and you saw what happened to the defense last year when Bowman went down the last two games. They were not the same team,
right?
And so, you know, it'll be really interesting to see. Hopefully he's healthy this year, and he plays the entire season. I think he's really the anchor of that group in there, along with Eddie, right?
So absolutely.
Savelle's my guy. I think there's just a chance.
He's got the opportunity.
He has the opportunity, has all the physical traits, and he's ready to take it. I think last year, big learning opportunity for him. But yeah, I think they've got to prove themselves this year. But let's talk about those trench dogs up front, huh? Where it all starts.
The Hog Mollies.
The Hog Mollies, man. I talked about it last time we were together, but this group has got to stop the run, man. It has gotten worse and worse and worse. Giving up 161 running yards per game, 126 in 2019 and 116 in 2018. So every year is getting worse. So maybe we're talking about seeing less nickel moving away. So maybe, like, is it three down linemen and two on the edge to really shore up what's been an incredibly disappointing run defense? That's got to start up front. Remember that not a one had a PFF pressure grade above 60. The entire line combined for one tackle for loss and no sacks in the shortened season. A lot of room to improve. That same Stanford game, remember I mentioned in our last show, down 31-16. Remember, we marched down the field 75 yards, touchdown, forced the punt, score a touchdown, cause a fumble on the 10. Down by 8, we go backwards 19 yards, settle for a field goal. And then what do? We decide, hey, let's let the D stop Stanford. 7 minutes, 47 seconds on the clock. Not three. They salted 7 minutes and 47 seconds off the clock just running, and we couldn't do anything about it.
Can we have one damn show where we don't talk about it?
Yeah, I know. It's such a – it's in like you have a 4-game set to think about, and that is the one that, like, you know, it really is the dagger. But look, that's not all D-line, but boy, they own some of that, and they can get better. Look, this wasn't good. And we have first-year line D-line coach Rip Rowan. Josiah Bronson's gone. Now, let me give you the bull case. Let's see what we have. Starts with Sam Taki-Taimani, 6'2", 330-pound junior, played 157 snaps. He's played well. That's your rock. Next one, Tuli Latuli-Gassanoa, that nose tackle spot, 6'2", 310-pounder. Look, wasn't fully healthy this last year, but Taki needs to be the rock, man. Can he be that Greg Gaines, Vita Vea, Danny Shelton? If he is, we're going to be in great shape. So there's two. I'm going to assume we'll see three down linemen and OLBs on the end. So that third rock is that Fatui Tuatele, 6'3", 310-pound sophomore out of Honolulu. Like, and like after that, this is where, I don't know, Jacob Bandis, top 10 national recruit in 2019. Noah Nagalu, he looked good in spring, 6'1", 300. He's an athlete who played a little running back in high school. I don't know. Draco Bynum, Kawe Pehopa, the true freshman, and Voit Tanufi. All I keep hearing out of Kawe Pehopa is that he just keeps body slamming dudes and starting fights in practice.
The freshman,
yeah.
No, and it sounds like he's going to get on the field.
Yeah, and look, these guys. So I've got two that I can count on, right? And after that, somebody's going to have to step up on this D line, and we have not recruited that spot well for the future.
Not in the last couple of years.
This next coming class. So like what I have on the bench today. Phil Murray, okay with. We got to find out. But this is one where I just don't know who it's going to be on that. Who the third one is going to be. It's got to be one of those guys.
So like a few years ago, Bandis, you mentioned he was a very highly recruited player. But he's had what? This is going to be his third year in the program. We've barely seen him. And so, yeah, I am concerned about him, you know, because of the fact that he's been so quiet. A guy that I actually think is going to have a big year is Tuli Latuli-Gassanoa. He, when he was on the field last year, made some big plays. He wasn't healthy, as you mentioned. And frankly, we had such a short season, it's hard to judge. But I think he is a guy who I think is going to have a big breakout season. And if he is really solid and Taki is really solid, this could be a really good D-line with those two guys as the anchors.
You could hockey shift that third spot or something, I guess. Well, or play two and two on the wings.
We've talked about, you know, are they going to a 3-4?
Right.
I mean, because they've been playing a 2-4.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's just been the 2-4.
You know, so I don't know that third, you know, I think certainly we will see nickel. And certainly, you know, we will see two and or three D linemen at times. I just don't know, you know, based on what we're hearing, I don't know what it's going to be all the time or it'll be the same. But
yeah, it's going to be fascinating. That it's certainly going to be the rotation that I'm going to watch. I think this is the most fascinating rotation on the defense, right? Mm-hmm. Who are they bringing in? Who are they moving around? Does Thule and Taki get gassed in the third and the fourth quarter? That's going to be the chess match, I think, that's going to be on this defensive staff this year.
It's going to be interesting. I think embarrassment of riches at DBU, as we talked about how Mitch started, per usual, some areas of optimism for the linebackers. A lot of talent there. The line, two studs, and we got to see what happens after that. That's going to be our defense this year.
And D-line has just traditionally been the hardest place to recruit on the West Coast and in the Pac-12. And the Pac-12 schools that have done it the best have had the most success. And so you're right. I mean, you know, we have a lot of unknowns there.
Yeah, great. Gaines via Shelton, who's it going to be? That's our defense, guys. One more area we got to talk about, a critical area for us. We saw some improvement last year, but over the past 3 or 4 years, special teams had dropped off, man. What do you think about special teams?
Yeah, you know, you look at the kicking game. We'll start there. Peyton Henry, he's expected to be the man that owns the kicking duties from a field goal perspective. He was at a 66% rate last year. I think it was a little bit of a disappointment, quite frankly, from what everybody was expecting.
Yep.
But the word is out of spring and fall camp that that looks corrected and that he's heading in the right direction. Tim Horn, kid out of Hawaii, I believe, is handling the kickoff duties. He's got a little bit bigger leg, which is great. I would always get frustrated, guys, like when we went and played Auburn, for example, in that that kickoff game. You know, a couple of years ago, I was so frustrated that whomever was handling kickoff duties couldn't get it into the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
That was absolutely ridiculous.
Brutal.
Right? So it's great to see him, like, really getting the ball, you know, doing his job out of the end zone every single time consistently. Like, that's what I'm looking for. What I'm excited about the returners, all right? We talked a little bit about Giles Jackson coming over from Michigan. That's his specialty, guys.
Oh, be like, so great.
The wiggle.
Returner. Exactly. Yeah. You watch his highlight, and doesn't seem like he's going to hit the corner, and then boom, he just hits gone. It, and he's gone, right? And so let's see if there's some spice there, a la Paul Arnold or something like that. Let's go.
Arnold.
Let's give us some old school action there. And then also, don't sleep on, you know, this is where, you know, Kyler Gordon comes in from the punt returners, right? Jalen McMillan, maybe.
McDuffie had a good.
McDuffie had a really good hand at it last year. And so I'm excited about the return game. You know, it's been a while, right? So I'm really excited to see what they do there. And hopefully they'll turn the corner. Punter, pretty well solidified with Race Porter. You know, 43-yard average. You know, I don't think you can ask much more from a punter. I mean, I think he's been a pretty solid player for the last couple of years for us. You know, the Jalen Green, the redshirt freshman long snapper that we had last year, struggled a little bit.
Yep.
So let's make sure that he kind of gets that under control. And then once more on the coverage side from you know, kind of kickoff coverage, Kyler Gordon and Dom Hampton. Those are the two guys that were circled that
the
continued
gunners.
To make play after play with their athleticism, the ability to get on guys. That's going to be exciting to watch this year.
Well, I don't know enough about Lake right now to understand his philosophy, but I know that Peterson early on, you know, wasn't kind of putting those starters out on special teams, right? And then kind of made that change when we hit 2016, and it was we got a good team. Like, we need to be good in this area. And so Lake, it will be interesting to see what his philosophy is on that, because I've just become a believer in it. I just don't think it's a place to really screw around, because even though you want to give younger guys, I mean, like guys you just mentioned, Dom Hampton, Kyler Gordon, those guys got their first opportunities on the field playing special teams, and you want to give guys those opportunities, but you just can't afford to give up as many big plays as the Huskies have in recent seasons. And especially, you know, you remember last year, the first series against Oregon State with the snap, and, you know, it's just like, it can really, like, that was a game that came down to the wire.
Right.
You know, because we spotted him 7 points on the first series.
Sure.
On special teams. So you can't be doing that too many times and have – and I hope Jimmy Lake – you know, we talked about this being a big year for him. I hope he realizes that and takes it seriously, because we need to.
Yeah, I hope so. And it's right. It's one of those things where, like, I think, Mitch, you outlined all the starters, and there's some talent there. But how much emphasis are they putting on this? I don't know. Okay, we're going to find out. But you can't have those big mistakes. Just be solid, right? Look – a lot of areas of optimism for the death row defense on special teams. I mean, this is a team that should be playing for a Pac-12 championship this year.
Win the North. Reclaim the North.
Well, you know, reigning North champions.
Reigning North champions.
Times with a less asterisks on it this year. But a lot of reasons to be excited. Before we sign off, a couple of things we want to chat about real quickly. Fellas, we've had name, image, and likeness for about a month or so now officially, and this has really changed the landscape of college football and what this means for the Huskies. Just real quick, Trent McDuffie, he got in on it early. Signed a deal with Yoki Gaming and another with Cameo. He's got a Cameo deal. Miami like could be one of the bigger winners of this. $500,000 in endorsements for everyone on the roster is what they're talking about. Like, this is what they're out pitching, that we're like, our plan is to find a way to get you $500,000 in endorsements over the course of your career at Miami. BYU, scholarships for everybody. So now there's no, like, there are no walk-ons earn your scholarship. We have an NIL deal paid for by a BYU alum for the equivalency of your expenses at BYU, all paid for. You walk on, you're on that team. Everybody gets on. So now you start thinking, okay, scholarship limits mean nothing now. All this stuff. Remember what happened before scholarship limits? Like way, way, way back in the day when you'd have Alabama would have 300 guys on a scholarship and they made
Nebraska,
a level playing field.
Oklahoma, yeah.
Now it doesn't matter. Whatever your roster is, NIL will scholarship everybody. Bryce Young, Alabama. Cool million from Cash App. Guy hasn't played yet. Bo Nix. Milo's Sweet Tea. Some of them are like, they crack me up. Some of them are just funny. Do you remember the USC quarterback in Georgia, JT Daniels?
Barely.
Zaxby's. Like, all these ones are just nuts. And I mean,
Cracker Barrel wasn't available.
Dude,
apparently.
Cracker Barrel not available. I mean, so look, they're out there. Ollie Gay, our old friend of the show, he's got a couple of them already, racked up a few within the first weeks. I've got my thoughts. I want to hear what you guys think about this thing.
Well, I will say, BT, that I am actually a practicing attorney, and I have an antitrust law is a complex and complicated thing that is difficult to understand. It's difficult for me to understand the Sherman Antitrust Act and all that. But in the end, the NCAA they are fighting an uphill battle in these legal battles, trying to claim that they have some exemption to antitrust law by saying that they're, you know, this revered tradition of amateur sports, which is basically the crux of their argument based on the 1985 landmark case of the Regents of Board of Oklahoma, obviously. And I think this was long overdue. I think it's good for the players, you know, to be able to, you know, the Ed O'Bannon case that started this whole thing is, hey, I'm turning on a video game and I see my face. I'm playing with the 6'11 center from UCLA who looks like me. That's me. Why should everyone else be making money off of that? That's absolutely fair, and it's a good point. But I think the reason that we saw the NCAA fight it so hard for all these years is exactly the list of things that you just read off. That now a school like Alabama can pay a recruit, or can see that he is paid, I should say, $1 million to go attend school there. I mean, how does a competing university, how does another university compete with that? And I think that this poses a real threat to the structure of college athletics for that reason.
I think it's fascinating. I think college football continues to evolve decade over decade. All right. Look, 10, 15 years ago, it was reimagining new offenses with Chip Kelly going to Oregon. Now it's NIL coming around. And guess what? You're either going to adapt to it and you're going to establish programs in your organization where you turn this into a recruiting tool and tell kids, here's how we're going to develop you. Here's how we're going to develop your brand. This is how you're going to benefit by coming to our university, and it's not just by getting your education, but it's also this education in marketing and how you turn yourself into a product. And it's those schools that it's not only just going to be the ones that have the Zaxby's. Yes, they'll be the big deals one-off here and there, but I am really fascinated to see if Washington's strategy here, which is getting Chris Peterson in to run a business program around this, is going to pay dividends down the line. And I think this is just yet another example of you got to evolve or you're going to get left in the dust.
absolutely. And I mean, I look at this from, I think we're all Husky fans. That's why we do this. I mean, that's why you guys are tuning in. I want to see University of Washington succeed. I want this to be a boon for our program, or I want to see us adapt and be leaders on this and not just be followers. I don't know that I'm seeing that right now, but I think that, you know, to survive in this new environment, we're going to have to see the University of Washington make that pitch that you just talked about to incoming players and make it better than our friends in Eugene.
Yeah.
We have to make it better to survive.
Here's what I'm disappointed about so far. One is, I would like to hear reports of Jimmy Lake in recruits' homes with Chris Peterson alongside of him pitching the NIL program. A. B. Look at Seattle. Look at the brands that are in Seattle. I want to see an Amazon. I want to see a Microsoft. I want to see a Facebook. I want to see a Google deal that gets struck with some of our athletes.
Yeah.
Let's take advantage of our strengths here, right? That's the thing. Like, come on. Eugene, sure, you've got Nike, but that's it, right? You got Tito's burrito shop. That's it.
Yeah.
All right? No, come on. Let's strike, right?
I don't know, from a Seattle perspective. I don't know if Chris Peterson – I don't know if that's in conformance with the NCAA rules to have him go on a recruiting visit, but certainly he – you know, if that's going to be his role at the University of Washington, certainly he needs to be meeting with recruits and explaining it, and we need to be embracing it and pitching it in that way. But I totally, wholeheartedly, fully agree with you that we have some amazing companies in Seattle. We have some amazing technology brands. We have amazing a lot of things. Starbucks, you know, there's lots of other things that aren't just tech.
And Ivers.
Maybe not Ivers. Maybe Ivers, but maybe not Ivers. We need to harness those brands.
Yes.
Now is the time. I mean, a lot of us have been kind of begging the administration to be looking into those things for a long time now. There's just no more time. We have to make those connections and harness those brands now, or we're going to be left behind.
Yeah. So like your answer to this can be a couplefold. And then one is you could go real old school and just say, hey, I'm here to talk about football. I'm not here to talk about this name injury like thing. I want to talk about football. I'm a football
Nick
guy.
Nick Saban's not doing that.
I'm a football guy. Yeah. But that's, I'm sure there are some coaches who are, right? And there's some who just go, look, I know it's just too confusing. I don't have the money. My school's not behind me on this. And there's others who embrace it and go, hey, you're here. Here's my legal staff. Here's my PR rep. These guys are at your disposal, ready to go. Like if you look at Boundless Futures, we have a landing page for that. That was up, ready to go day one.
Yep.
And we have a couple of announcements, like a few players that are there. But I don't actually think it's going to be the big brands. Outside of Nike. Nike's always had Oregon's back. They have a distinct advantage. Kayvon Thibodeau got that six-figure deal already. It's going to be a few things. Only like that's what they will – that will be a bigger recruiting tool than it will be actually payers getting played. It's not the whole roster getting the six-figure deal.
Yeah, sure.
Kayvon Thibodeau gets that.
Right.
But every recruit thinks they're getting that deal. I'm just saying this. I don't think it's actually going to be the Starbucks, the Amazon, or the Microsofts of the world. I don't think they operate that way. I don't think they have the incentives to do it. I don't even think a company like, even in the SEC, like a Lowe's based out of Atlanta is going to do it. It's Bowen Scarf Ford. It's Dick's. I think it is Ivers. I think it's companies like this that actually see the payout, can make the switch really quickly, and don't have a brand team of 100 Microsoft brand experts saying, hey, not aligned with our brand. You got to pass through these 50 strategies. It's the ones that can move really quickly. It's the MMA gym at Miami who said, I'll give every single one, every Miami football player, I don't care who you are. You say my MMA gym is the place to train. Here's $500 a month.
Right.
And there's a bonus for all of you guys at Miami if you all sign up. It's that quick, fast moving school embraces it. I think it's the ancillary money that comes from all the Microsoft and Amazon founders that go off and do these other interesting things, that start bars and restaurants, that makes all the money in the area, That you got to tap into.
That makes that possible.
That makes that possible.
I'm not disputing that, and that's fascinating. I think the resources are here in this region regardless, and the proof is going to be in the pudding. That Boundless Future page needs to have an example link on the very front that says, here are the last 10 deals that we've signed. And it has to be more than one Trent McDuffie thing right now.
Yeah, it just can't be just Trent McDuffie.
To me, it's not successful until there's a page full of meaningful deals that are on there so that they can show that as a recruiting tool to recruits.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you guys are the successful businessmen and I'm the lowly attorney in this group. Because honestly, like, you know, it's the creativity that's going to guide this. It's the ideas you're talking about, BT. It's like, it's the creative ways that we're going to work with that to appeal to our players, to our roster, to our recruits. I just want to see UW be creative. I want to see them innovating. I don't want to see them trailing behind and copying what other people are doing because we don't have our own ideas.
Yeah.
And I think they're trying. They're trying to get out there. Yeah. Like they did lean in. I think they were early, but again, they've got to execute on that level. And I don't know who's running that deal, but I want to see some execution and some deals closed.
And and I think it's helped them with a media strategy, with legal backing, so they don't get in some deal with some shady car dealership that goes, oh, by the way, I'm going to take 20% of all your future earnings. Just sign this thing. Don't worry about it. Like, it could be a mess. Friend of the show, Bowie, he owns, you know, Shoes and Feet, great running store. You got to get all your running shoes from Shoes and Feet. He gets an inbound call. Inbound call from cross-country athlete. Here's what I can do for you.
Wow.
Somebody's coaching.
Yeah.
Somebody's coaching that cross-country athlete to say, hey, why don't you call a bunch of running shoe stores and see what you know, try to strike a deal. So it's there. All I think with NIL, though, you think the rich got richer over the last 6 years?
They're only getting richer.
You're bored of guys, are you out there in football land? You're bored of seeing Alabama, Ohio State,
Oklahoma.
Clemson, Oklahoma? About to get real bored. Because those guys are about to get real rich. Hopefully, we're part of that equation selfishly. But the gap with us as well of the Oregon USC versus the Oregon State's Wazoos of the world. Yeah. And I just hope we're on the right side of that equation. It's gonna be crazy. One more thing we gotta talk about: big tailgating changes. Beer and wine sold in Husky Stadium. No in-and-out privileges. You cannot scan your ticket. Make sure you scan your ticket. You're coming back in. All the checkers out there, scan your ticket. You're going to walk your ass out the side of the stadium, and you aren't coming back now. But you can get a $13 Bud Light in the stadium to your heart's desire, unless you're in the student section. What do you guys think?
This is really interesting. I think you called it. Jen Cohen, very crafty on this. Press releases went out. All, you know, touting the fact that, hey, you know, we're adapting. We understand people are staying home, how comfortable it is to sit at your home theater. We want to make, you know, give you modern day amenities and, you know, make sure we're open up the booze and alcohol. Then the very last sentence in size 2 font, by the way, no reentry at halftime. It's crafty, Jen. Touche. Touche.
Well played.
Well, you know, I do think in-and-out privileges are a privilege that some of us may have enjoyed more than others. I personally have never really liked, you know, kind of the running out at halftime, running back in kind of thing. I end up missing the game. I end up kind of like it's just not a relaxing way for me. I'd rather drink a beer at halftime on the concourse with my buddies and then go back and catch the entire second half, personally. So I'm not as concerned about the in-and-out privileges. However, I think this is a necessary, and I think we probably all saw this coming. I mean, they've started selling it a few years ago in the club section at Husky Stadium. They've dabbled with the zone. Like, this was a change. The writing was on the wall, and they have a lot of revenue shortfall to make up. And if I were them, I would be trying to capture that revenue, as much of it as I can, because, you know, 2020 was not an easy year on the accounting front for the UW Athletic Department. So I think that they're doing this because they need to. They're not doing it because the blue hair Thais are begging them to do it, right? Those people have been smuggling in their booze for years anyway. I'm sure some will continue to do so.
Big winner in this, the flask market.
The flask market got really hot.
There's an NIL deal for it.
Yeah.
Ziplocs.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take my Sam Taki Taimani flask. I'd pay a premium for that.
I'd like to see ZTF and grade.
Yeah, dude. I'll take a ZTF. Yeah. I would pay good money for that. Yeah. I mean, look, it's I'm on the other side of that equation. I love running out at half. You know, running out there, getting ready, having a beer or two, three, and talking about with you, because I don't sit with everybody, seeing them and saying, hey, well, that was crazy, man. What a throw. That was awesome. Like talking about what we got to do in the half and then kind of running back in. I enjoy that. You know, and turning on, seeing what's happened with the other games at halftime. But that is gone. And it's an equation I have to pay. The only thing that worries me about it is I don't know what the prices are going to look like. But went to a Mariners game with family this year. Enjoyed myself a nice sandwich, you know, the barbecue, the Dixie's, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I want to say it was like $15.50, $16. I'm okay with that. That was fine. Fair. My beer was $17. $17.
What?
And I'm already there. And like, I think it was like a 20-ounce premium or whatever. Like, I'm already there. And so I'm like, I don't know. I already ordered it, whatever. But I'm at a point where like, why not make it $50 at this point? Like, what? It is absurd. So if that's what they're going to do, and that's look, it's not going to be five. It's not going to be five. It's going to be domestic eight, maybe nine. It's not going to be cheap. But look, it's the right move. It's I just, you know, from a South Lot tailgater and someone who tailgates really closely, I'm bummed out. But it's the right thing. And you know, maybe more folks in the stand ready for the third quarter, particularly in those early blowout games where, like, you know, when we're playing the Montanas of the world and – you look back in the third quarter and you go, there's about 1,000 people here. Like, nobody's left. But, hey.
Yeah. You know, one last point. I mean, looking around the BT Palace here, I think you can afford $17 beers, okay? That's one point.
Oh, but now.
Here's the thing.
This is my palace of gold we're sitting in this garage.
Here's the deal. I could see it coming, all these things that we just mentioned.
But yeah, they had to.
The thing that I'm not going to be okay with is if you want to go get a beverage and you miss a significant part of the game.
There's
the lines
are 100
because
deep.
The lines are 20 minutes long.
Get it figured out.
Get that figured out. Like, you got to figure that out if you're going to make
little
this move.
Stations, you know,
you got to have multiple. Yeah. You can't be doing this thing where it takes
Mitch
15
Jr.'s
minutes.
Mitch Jr. is going to have to carry a couple and you're going to have to stock up.
Jeez, right. You guys, she is going to be a Sherpa this year.
That's awesome. Don't spill any of Dad's beer. Hey, it was going to happen anyway. Guys, I'm really excited about this season. I think we've talked about it earlier that, yes, look, there may be some concerns here about the recruiting. A lot of changes happening. Conference realignment, name, image, and likeness. Beer sold inside Husky Stadium, but we're going to be there for you. The one thing I would like to say, you know, second best podcast out of this house now. Do you know that? Relegated. If you want to get a listen, the Koala Club also out of the BT household. Great listen for you. Maybe a little lighter.
On the lighter side, maybe for the six to eight-year-old.
Six to eight-year-old demo, a little bit on the lighter side.
Worthwhile.
You're going to finish that shorter show, 10 minutes. You're going to finish that feeling good about yourself.
And none of that boring crosstalk.
No, right?
It's much more on point. No digressions.
No digressions.
Koala Club.
No, yeah, Koala Club.
Give the Koala Club
minimal to no complaining about $17 Bud Lights on the Koala Club, though. Very proud of my son for his I'd like to see a name, image, and likeness deal for my son for the Koala Club. But hey, how about it, guys? We're going to be back maybe talking about the Montana game before it comes back.
Then
we'll definitely be getting ready for Michigan. Excited for the season. Hey, go Dogs.
Woof.
No touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
No touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Oregon and Stanford.
No touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Is Arizona State a football team?
No touchdown, Washington. Yep.